from WGBB 1240 on your dial, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. That's Al Barbarino singing our theme song. Let's listen to him.
Blues has a gentle breeze, and it fills our souls with gladness. And it cools our heart at ease. Whether working or at leisure, Jesus wants to show the way. If we take the time to ask him, he will guide us through the day.
Children's inheritance.
No wonder. No wonder you adopted me.
And it's true. That's what I do. I spend that inheritance.
And we're just two young kids in love with Jesus. And we want to spread that love throughout the United States, throughout Long Island, throughout Nassau County. And we're looking for one convert a week. One convert a week. And that's all. We're so humble and so meek. The apostles got 3,000 every time they spoke.
And I like the way you call us young. I never saw a baby with white hair, did you? And a lot of they have wrinkles, so we understand that. They got wrinkles.
Listen, they can't see us. Oh, yes, they can.
Yeah, they can. And we have Stan back there behind the window. And Stan, thank you again for taking over for Trevor today. Stan trained Trevor. Thank God. Thank God somebody did that. We have two wonderful guests today, and our show is going to be about following the call of Jesus in our lives. Such an important topic. How do we know what Jesus wants us to do? And brother and deacon, why don't you tell us your full name and serial number? And if you can't want, you can put your social security number out there.
Very no, helpful. Don't do that. We got enough of problems going on.
Brother, go ahead.
Good morning, and very happy to be here. Brother Louis Miratello, Franciscan Brother of Brooklyn, and the vocation director for the Franciscan Brothers. And as I say, I'm very happy to be here.
And we found a way to get you here.
That's right. A rescue mission bring me in this morning. As I said to Dr. Palmer, I could find anything on the North Shore, but once I get to the South Shore, it's like a foreign country to me. But he did rescue me.
And so, you are a Franciscan brother?
Franciscan
and what did you
brother
work there?
We are the brothers who I guess are best known on Long Island, who staff St. Anthony's High School.
Okay.
And we have St. Francis Prep in the Queens, and St. Francis College in Brooklyn. We staff a number of other places as well.
And my boss is with your order too, Brother James.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Brother James, who made this arrangement in the first place. But,
yes.
And we have been around for 150 plus years. And I've served the Brooklyn Diocese when this geography here was part of the Brooklyn Diocese.
It was at one time.
Diocese was around us, and
yes,
we've been serving ever since. We do go outside the area. We're a pontifical community, so we can operate anywhere. But by preference, we have been working in the Northeast. We have been in Connecticut, and then we had a small a commitment in Florida and one in North Carolina. We had individual brothers working in several places.
Okay. Brother, you probably can't tell by my accent, but I'm a Brooklyn boy also. I'm from Three Point.
And I'm
Green Perch. Green Perch.
I'm from Gravesend.
Oh, I see. So we're not too far apart.
We have another guy sitting next to you. And Deacon Jock, why don't you tell us your name, full name? And
well,
he'll just move over to the mic.
Well, my name is Deacon Jacques Nesli Filippo.
Oh, boy.
And
I didn't know the Nesli Filippo.
I'm not originally from Brooklyn, even though when I first arrived in this country back in 1967, that's where I lived. I lived in Brooklyn a long time before I finally ended up in Long Island.
I'm so outnumbered here.
Well,
from Queens.
You certainly are.
Queens. I got to be quiet then. And I rooted for the Giants. I don't know how to tell you guys.
Oh.
Yes, and I'm the deacon now, going to be 2 years in May. I was ordained back in 2009, and I'm just loving and enjoying serving the Lord Jesus, and I'm so grateful that he has called me to be his instrument, his servant.
How did he call you?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, all through my life, I always believed that I was a follower of Jesus, but the question was, or is, how was I following Jesus? Was I following Jesus the proper way of to follow Jesus? Well, of course, I always had a devotion to the Blessed Mother. And as many people come to realize, the Mother has a mean by which of bringing us to Jesus. And she did that for me. And I'm so thankful for that. And now that
we
certainly,
yes,
absolutely. And then once you begin to follow Jesus, once he's touched you, and he sets your heart on fire, you just can't get enough of Jesus. And that's where I am today, and I'm loving him.
And brother, how did you come into your vocation, as long as we're talking about vocations?
Well, I believe it or not, when I was in elementary school, I didn't know where the brother was. And I met the brothers for the first time through a set of circumstances where I went to St. Francis Prep. At that time, it was in Greenpoint.
Oh.
And I met the brothers, and I by my sophomore year, I was curious about them. By my junior year, I began to inquire, and then I made my decision that when I graduated, I would go to the division, which at that time was not too far away, Wyandanche.
Oh, okay.
And I spent my time in the division. At that time, was 2.5 years. We had a 2-year division, which followed a 6-month postulancy. And, you know, I went in with the idea as a high school kid that if I went on my visit and I said, gee, if I did this visit and it took 3 days, if I multiplied by 3, I could get a week out of it. Maybe I could hack it for a week. And then what happened, I said, I'll multiply up at 4, I could hack it for a month. I lost count 52 years ago.
Oh, my God. 52 years.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? And do you still feel the fire today?
Yes, I do. I do.
What makes it come alive for you?
I think as I serve people, I think the title brother with a capital B is, our calling really is to be a brother to whomsoever we meet. And that means a brother during the good times and the bad times.
Mm-hmm.
It's
sounds like my marriage is
it's in many ways very, very similar. You know, I sometimes say, you know, we kind of marry a lot of people in community, and the married person marries at one.
Absolutely, and you give your life to Jesus.
Yes.
And that's your marriage. And it's a great marriage.
I have a very irreverent thought. See, I think priests should be married because I think they're entitled to the same troubles I have as a married man.
but I understand the celibacy.
Father, we have a lot in common, by the way. St. Francis Prep. My business is a block away from there. It was a block away from St. Francis Prep, and that's now a college, Barriqua College.
That's right.
And I taught there. I teach there. I'm on their business advisory board now.
They occupy the old
St. Francis Prep, and they're doing a wonderful job.
You know, when people are called, they always question, and they always get nervous, and they always get afraid, you know, am I doing God's will, or am I doing my will? You know, and it has nothing to do with becoming a brother, or a deacon, or a priest, or a Baptist minister, or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with how we relate to Jesus. And when we get afraid, and we do, see, am I really following, like you said, deacon, am I really following Jesus? And then you get nervous. And just to put everybody at ease who's listening, because we're after fallen away Catholics and people, we're not asking everybody who's listening to be a priest or to be a brother or to be a deacon or to be a nun, whatever. We're saying Jesus wants to walk with you 24/7. That's your vocation. And don't be afraid. So why don't we just listen to John Michael Talbot?
But go ahead. Just before we do, that's our theme, that's our mission statement, is that Jesus wants to be involved in all parts of our lives, not only just at Mass. He wants to come home with us. He wants to be involved in our personal lives, our business lives. In my life, he's the CEO of my business, and he just wants to be with us, and his arms are there open, waiting for us.
You know where he talks to me most? In the bathroom, when I'm taking a shower. You know, when I'm really just being very quiet and not even half awake, and sometimes I think it's better that I'm not half awake because I wouldn't let him talk if I were fully awake. But, you know, don't be afraid. Whatever he's calling you to, those of you who are listening, don't be afraid. Deacon?
And I'd like to add the fact that there are many people out there who are involved in many activities, and deep down in their hearts, they do believe they're trying to follow Jesus. However, there's one way for sure that we may learn how to follow Jesus, is to go to the Bible. Read the gospel. Jesus tells us exactly how we ought to follow him.
Exactly. We have a practice of telling people to play Bible roulette. That is, when they get up, if they're troubled about something, open scripture and let God talk to you. And invariably, he'll tell you just what you need to hear.
And you do know I have a very devout listener in Brooklyn, Dan Aloysius, that plays Bible roulette. And every week he gives me his results.
Yeah, but he told me from scripture that we're supposed to invite the Pope. I don't think he's going to.
No, that was the bishop.
Oh, the bishop.
That's the bishop.
He discerned bishop. I said Pope.
And that was Benedicto. And Benedicto, thank you so much for being such a devout listener. And thank you for all your information that you give us.
And I want to play my song.
Go ahead.
Come on, let me play my music.
I've been trying to get a voice, but go ahead and play it.
John Michael Talbot.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far and safely, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your word.
feel the peace that I feel. People don't know how I choose the songs for the show. But what I usually do is I maybe select 5 or 10 songs. And then I pray over each one and I say, Jesus, is this okay for the show or not? Now, he changed the music on this show 3 times. And I asked, why do you want to start with Be Not Afraid? And as that song was playing, he put into my heart, he said, I want everyone on this show, all the guests, to talk about the times that they stepped out in faith, even though their knees were knocking, and did something for Jesus. I'm going to start it because a woman came up to me last night, we're at a healing service, and the last person I saw, and when I, my fear is always, what am I saying when I pray over people? What are these words? And are they for real? And she said, you prayed over me before Easter. And you told me Easter was going to be Christmas for me. And I said, I did. And she said, yeah. And I said, what happened? Well, I had it in my head. And on Holy Saturday, I went to confession. And I said, yeah. She said, you don't understand. It's the first confession I went to in 40 years. And I felt so good. And then I went to communion at the Easter Vigil, and I felt even better. And then the next morning, Easter Sunday, I went to communion again. And all I could think of, it's Christmas. It's good. But you know, I was afraid to step out and say words like that. And look what happened. And if I didn't do that, what would have happened? How about you guys? Did you, can you think of any time when you kind of said something to someone and it seemed to have an impact on them? Put your hand down.
Nothing, grandma. Go ahead.
Wait a minute, I got to raise my hand. Makes me a little nervous. Don't you remember?
Speak into the microphone.
Don't you remember when we first started our show 15 years ago and we were going live and we were worried about going live? And I was coming home from your house, and I had my iPod with me, and all of a sudden a song started playing by Pascal saying, Be not afraid. And I took it as though Jesus was telling us, go live, don't be afraid, just do it, I'll be there.
And he is. And he
was.
Some of our listeners think he might have said, go dead. But go live. How about you guys? Deacon? Brother?
Well, one thing I can say is that when I was first ordained a deacon, and of course, when you prepare, you had to prepare your homily, I mean, we still do, I still do, and I used to have my papers with me, maybe 6-7 pages, and I remember many times during masses, when I preach, there'll be maybe one person in particular I can recall who would say, when are you going to start preaching to us without papers? And it was always a question mark for me. But then it's like I kept hearing the voice saying, open your mouth and I will fill it. You just go. You know, of course, you know, you read the gospel, you do some research. But now, and thanks to Jesus and to the trust, it's trust and having faith in him, I just go, I said, you lead me, you speak through me. Let my mouth be your mouth. The words that come out of my mouth, let them be your words. And it seemed to be going perfectly fine.
It goes more than perfectly fine. You're the only preacher I hear sometimes at Mass. When you finish speaking, you get applause.
Absolutely.
It's all the Lord.
Last night you moved many, many people. If you have never heard Deacon Jack give a homily or speak, I encourage you, find out where he's talking, where he's serving, and go listen.
Thank Jesus for that. And just praise as a reminder, just yesterday in the gospel reading, when Jesus came and told the apostles to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and they were complaining, saying that, Master, we have not got anything. Again, it's that trust, again, trusting in the Lord. As the song said, I go before you always. Be not afraid. So we ought not to be afraid to do as Jesus asks us to do. Because he is the one doing it through us. We own these instruments.
And how many fish are there, Will? In 153?
153 big fish.
Brother, how about you? Can you think of an incident? I'm sure.
Yes. I spent a good deal of time in my life teaching. And of course, teachers have plan books, and we have a whole script we have to prepare. And oft times it's that one student that will come up with a problem, and that defines your role. That defines your day.
Mm-hmm.
I think the secret to the whole thing, and Dr. Palmer, you reminded me of something before, and I'll allude to that. The secret is to keep God's presence within your life at all times, and allow God to speak first. Oft times we tend to want to kind of butt in. You were alluding to the fact that your best time for thinking is in the shower, and he immediately said that water is so symbolic of your baptismal water.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And that presence of God in your life is so very, very important. And it took a long time for me to learn that. So every once in a while when I'm tempted to butt in, they say, okay, Jesus, you speak first.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a prayer of St. Francis, and we say, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. And I would like to take that word instrument and change it to a conduit, a pipeline,
wow,
through which God's grace flows.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, our saints did the same thing. And this weekend is Divine Mercy Weekend. And St. Faustina, am I stealing your thunder by
yes,
saying?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I should.
Mr. Executive Producer, yes, you are.
Well,
that's okay.
I'll talk about Faustina. Stan, we're going to put that music in the background. Because,
very low, please.
Yeah, because Tony is a ham, and we need music to motivate him. And talk into the microphone.
I will. I will, Dr. Palmer. St. Faustina was graced by Jesus, so that she, her mission was to go out and to tell everyone about his divine mercy. And so she was born in 1905 in Poland, the third of 10 children in the family of Stanisław Kolaski, I believe it said. And from her childhood, she was distinguished by a love for prayer, diligence at work, obedience, and sensitivity for the poor. She attended not quite 3 years of elementary schooling, and later as a teenager left the family home to work as a domestic servant. At the age of 20, she entered the Sisterhood of Our Lady of Mercy, in which as Sister Maria Faustina, she spent 13 years of her life performing the duties of being a cook, a gardener, a doorkeeper. Her life was tough seemingly, but very ordinary, monotonous, and drab, canceled in itself an exceptionally profound union with God. For her childhood, she desired to become a great saint, and she consistently strove toward that good working goal. Together with Jesus for the salvation of lost souls, even to the extent of offering her life as a sacrifice for all the sinners out there. Therefore, her life as a religious was marked with the stigma of suffering, but also with the extraordinary mystical graces that Jesus bestowed upon her. Her mission consisted of reminding the world of the truth of her faith revealed in the Holy Scriptures about the merciful love of God towards every human being, even the greatest sinners, conveying new forms of devotion to divine mercy, initiating a great movement of devotees and apostles of divine mercy, who would lead people toward the renewal of Christian life in the spirit of his devotion. In other words, the evangelical spirit as childhood confidence in God and an active love of our neighbors. Worn out and weakened by tuberculosis and suffering, she bore and sacrificed for sinners. She died on October 5th, 1938, at the age of 33. On the first Sunday after Easter, April 18, 1993, in St. Peter's Square in Rome, Pope John Paul II declared her as one of the community of the blessed. On the following day, during his general audience, he says, God has spoken to us through the spiritual wealth of Blessed Sister Faustina. She left to the world the greatest message of divine mercy and an incentive to complete self-surrender to the Creator. God endowed her with a singular grace that enabled her to experience His mercy through mystical encounters and by a special gift of prayer. Blessed Sister Faustina, thank you for reminding us of the world, that great mystery of divine mercy, that starting mystery, that inexpressible mystery of the Father, which today every individual in the whole world needed so much. And isn't it such a coincidence that tomorrow Pope John Paul II will be blessed John Paul II, and he had a great devotion to St. Faustina. It's not over, Dr. Palmer.
I know it's not over, but I want to make a comment anyway.
You may. Thank you.
She had to really step out in faith. She didn't have a bed of roses to move ahead with that divine mercy. No. She really had to fight off her superiors in her order, and she was given that image of Jesus with the rays coming out, and she started that devotion, and it was her confessor who helped her.
Right, and she had to portray that image.
Yes.
Exactly as the way our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, portrayed it to her.
Yeah.
I don't think that was such an easy task.
And she's touched hundreds of thousands of people. Let me get out of the way, though. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, you took over half my thunder.
The music is over.
But anyway, there was one thing I do want to mention, and I thought about it and prayed over it, and I asked my friend Benedicto and Saint our wishes to also pray over it, and he told me that he got a very calm yes. So I'm going to tell you about it. About Saint Faustina was asked by God to visit hell. The reason why he wanted her to visit hell, and it's in her memoirs, and it's on page 296, and it's in the diary number 741. He wanted her to visit hell because he wanted her to tell everyone, yes, there is a hell. And he wanted her to describe what hell was all about. And so she did in her diary, and I'd like to read it. And I'm not the type of being a fire and brimstone preacher or anything like that, so I want to speak about it in a very subtle way, as subtle as I can. She says, I, Sister Faustina, by order of God, I visited the depths of hell so that I may tell souls about it and testify to his existence. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things I saw. I noticed one thing, that most of the souls there were those who disbelieved that hell ever existed. Today, I was led by an angel to the depths of hell. It is a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of tortures I saw. The first torture that constitutes hell is the loss of God. The second is perpetual remorse of conscience. The third one is the condition that this will never change. This is what those poor souls are in for, eternally, forever and ever. The fourth is the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it. A terrible suffering, since it is a purely spiritual fire lit by God's anger. The fifth torture is continued darkness and a terrible suffocating smell. And despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other and all the evil, both of others and of their own. Sixth torture is the constant company of Satan, constantly being there. The seventh torture is the horrible despair of hatred of God, vile words, curses, and blasphemies. These are the tortures suffered by all those damned together. But that is not the end of the suffering. There are special tortures destined for particular souls. These are the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable suffering related to the manner in which it has sinned. I would have died. There are
caverns of pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another. I would have died at the very sight of these tortures if our God had not supported me and told me to be there. Let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity in those senses which he made use to the sin. I am writing this at the command of God so that no soul may find an excuse by saying, there is no hell. Yes, hell exists, and that nobody has ever been there, and so no one can say what it is like. How terrible souls suffer there. Consequently, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I necessarily pleaded God's mercy upon them. Oh, my Jesus, I would rather be in agony until the end of the world and miss the greatest suffering than offend you by the least of my sins. And so that's in the memoirs, and it's on page 296 and 297.
Can I stop those pages?
Yes, you can. Thanks. So, Dr. Palmer, yes, hell does exist, and let's avoid it.
I know it exists because I work with you. I mean, what am I going
to
say?
I thought you were starting to love me. Tell anybody that story when I did a Valentine's
Day. I did.
What does it mean?
I called. We were working very close together every day. Yeah. And then it turned out when we went live on the air, we started now we see each other maybe a half an hour a week. So I called Tony. I have to be right close to Valentine's Day. I said, Tony, where are you? I miss you, right? Mm-hmm. He showed up on Valentine's Day with candy for me.
And he gave it away.
Well, I didn't want to go that way. But you know, see how important it is for us to live up to our vocation? And our vocation is, yes, we're to be there with God, but we're to bring others to God. Brother, you work with young people in the schools. I don't know if you work with them now, but I know you used to. And just your presence as a man dedicated to Jesus and has offered his life to Jesus as a model. And I don't know if you think of it that way, but what a blessing you must have been to all those young people that you taught. You helped them understand that in life they had to live close to Jesus.
When you're teaching, it's you usually get involved in the teaching, and that is kind of transparent to you. It's only when you meet students many, many years later, and they come up and they quote you word for word and say, I said that, and it made a difference in their life. Now that I'm doing vocation work, I have to say that I work much more closely on the spiritual level with young men that are thinking about their vocation, usually college age. Facebook, for instance, has been a tool which I use, and it helps me to do that. And every time I walk away from an exchange, it's a blessing from God. And one of the most humbling things is that I turn from it, I say, God, why me? Why should I be involved in this? Why else I chosen, you know? And it's very humbling feeling.
Yeah,
it really is.
And I'm sure he selected you. That's why it's you.
Okay, you see God's grace working in the soul.
Oh.
And it's, and as I usually tell the young men, when God calls you, you are sacred because the hand of God has touched you.
So, you know, I'm just getting the thought, Deacon and Brother, and I'm just getting the thought, how many lives have you two guys touched over your ministry? I bet you thousands, especially with your homilies and your spirituality and your in-depth taking charge of the children. And it's amazing how many lives you two guys have touched.
Well, what I'd like to add is that I know you guys know I'm a school teacher as well, and I work in the public school, and I must give great thanks to the Blessed Mother, because at the time I left for a while because I didn't quite understand the depth, my role, the ministry that's involved. when you are dealing with children, especially now, when you're in New York City public school, you know that it's a, there's a high percentage of those children who are coming from broken family. Mm-hmm. Quite a, many of them don't know their father. Some of them are being raised by their grandmother. Many of them go home to an unsupervised home. Many of them are raising themselves. And as I stated earlier, I really thank the Blessed Mother for the grace she has granted me to finally come to understand and see the role, why God has placed me there, even though I'm in an environment where I cannot really talk about religion. But something they see, something comes through, something that enables them to relate to me in a way where as they know there's something, there's a different way of living and there's a different way of interacting with others that are around you. And I find it is such a blessing to be amongst them. Now that I understand, I have a glimpse of my role as to why God has called me to do this.
I think I see what I see in you. I see the light of Jesus in you. And although you're not always portraying and talking about it, it just comes out of you naturally. And I'm sure that light of Jesus and that light of the Holy Spirit penetrates to those children.
Well, I thank you for saying that, but I think it's something that happened, like just as you just read about the life of Sister Faustina. This is what happened when we surrender our will to the will of God. So when we move ourselves and constantly ask Him to come in and transform our lives, because there's nothing we can do on our own. It's He doing the work through
us. Say,
brother, you could. I would like to comment what Deacon said. I think there are moments when a person's life gets so messed up that they lose sight of God. And Deacon, there are moments, I'm sure, when on a particular day, your face is the only face of God they will see.
Right.
And that's an awesome role to play. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're called to do.
Yes.
And that's so beautiful.
Brother,
that's so beautiful for the way to think of in that light.
And you've done this, brother. You've placed your whole life in God's hands. And I know, Deacon, you've done the same. And this guy over here, even though I tease him a lot, he's such a holy man, and he does whatever he can to bring Jesus and to God. That's what we do. That's what our vocation is.
Yes, and for those listening out there, all of those baptized, all of us who've been baptized, we all are called to be the faces of Jesus to all we encounter through lives, because it is through us now that Jesus carries on the good news. So that's why we got to learn what is the proper way to follow Jesus. What does Jesus want us to do?
Two things. Surrender and place your life in His hands.
Amen.
And believe it or not, that's going to be the song we're going to play. All of those of you who are listening, make a resolution. Listen to John Talbot. Follow his words. Love and friends and home. Do a first on Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. We're going to do an altar call right now for every listener who is at home. I don't care if you can't get out of bed because you're sick and ill or whatever. We're going to do an altar call. Jesus is calling each of you. Stand up for Him. Lift up your hands and say now, Jesus, I trust in you. Let's do it, guys.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I want to do your will in my life.
Jesus, I want to do your will in my life.
Open my heart. Open my eyes. Take the scales away so that I can see you, Jesus, and only you. Praise you, Jesus, and thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus,
thank you.
We place our lives in your hand. Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you. Tony, I may sing. We don't want that.
I know, I was told not to sing.
Father, oh, I place my heart in around somebody, take their hand, and both of you make a commitment to Jesus right now, just before Divine Mercy Sunday and right out of Easter. Father, we place our hearts in your hands. Lead us, Lord. We place our lives in your hands. Lead us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Empower us. Let us step out in faith.
And thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for accepting us.
Grant us your mercy.
Thank you.
Grant us your mercy.
Thank you.
Grant us your mercy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your mercy. After Faustina's description of hell, Lord, we don't want anyone to go there. We don't want anyone there, Lord. Make us your disciples. Get us out in the open, Lord. Let us not be afraid to speak your word, Lord, and bring others home to you, Lord. That's what we want, Lord.
Conversions.
Amen.
Praise and glory to you, Jesus Christ.
Thank you. This is an altar call that never stops. When you wake up in the morning, you say the same thing.
Thank you.
Father, I place my life in your hands. It's your agenda today, Lord, not mine. It's your life, Lord, not mine. I borrowed it from you. I give it back to you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Praise you.
You have nothing but this family. Praise you.
Praise you.
That was masterful, Dr. Palmer. That was wonderful.
Wasn't he?
Wasn't me. Did you ever use those singing lessons I gave you?
No.
No?
No.
Try using them.
I learned how to tap my toes.
This reminded me so much of tomorrow's gospel reading, where it's the end of John's reading of Jesus' ministry and his suffering and his rising. And he actually sends his apostles out to evangelize. So to me, I look upon tomorrow's reading as graduation day for the apostles, because he's sending them out to evangelize, as we're talking about, to evangelize and to spread his word throughout the world. And for 2,000 years, guess what's been happening? People have been replacing the apostles and spreading the word. And this is what Jesus has been trying to tell us for 2,000 years. There is a hell. Don't go there.
But there's also a heaven. You know?
Praise Jesus.
And I thank God. You know, I once, when people tell me, aren't you afraid of Satan? And to tell you the truth, my answer is, no, he's in hell where he belongs. And you know, they say Satan prowls about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. But I say God prowls the world, looking for the victory in souls. And you know what? He wins.
Absolutely.
He wins time and time again. I bet if you look in Faustina, there's a definition of heaven.
I'm sure there is. And I'll have it next week, but I just want you to know one thing. In her readings, in her diary, she sort of alluded that God is in control.
Amen.
Of the devil. And he's in control of hell.
I had a woman in prayer last night, and all upset. And I had a word for her. And he asked a simple question. Anyone outside of here listening, the question is, who's in charge? Who's in charge? And if you believe it's Jesus, why are you worried? Why are you in fear? Why are you in doubt? I don't get it. If he's in charge, you know he loves you. Well, what do you want? Right?
And to add to that, we are Easter people, right?
You bet.
Easter tells us that good has triumphed over evil. Jesus resurrected.
Amen.
So therefore, as he referring back to the gospel reading for tomorrow, three times he appeared, he told the apostle, peace be with you.
Yes.
So peace be with all of you, and there's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus has triumphed.
All right, we go into a healing section at the end of our show, towards the end of our show. And our show, we feel, never ends because we're always ready for the next one. We have on the table before us, for those who are listening, petitions in a folder that people give us that we pray for. And today the healer is Saint Faustina. And through her divine mercy, and through just simply the words, Jesus, I trust in you, that's where the healing comes. So we're going to pray. If you guys would just put your hands and fold it. If we can all fold hands. And Jesus, I want to start this little healing section about something that really happened that we should really share and rejoice at. If listeners recall, if you've been around for a while, we've been praying for two mothers who lost their daughters to suicide over in Christmas. And the prayer that we had, and I had this in prayer, for that these women were going to be healed. You know, and I said, well, yeah, great. All right, how's that happen, right? Well, last Thursday, I saw one of the mothers, and she said to me, you don't know what happened to me. And I said, no, I don't. I knew she was different because every other week she couldn't even talk. She was in tears. And she said, you couldn't meet with me last Thursday because it was Holy Thursday. And you told me to go to the Holy Thursday service and I'll get in touch with my daughter. And I said, yeah, fine. She said, well, I did. And there was a small group of people at the service. And they asked for petitions, and I said, I want to pray for my daughter and my son. And all of a sudden, I realized, I got the insight. Well, I have a daughter and a son. I have two children. They're both alive, but they're in different places, and I can be in touch. And she went on and on and on and on. And I said, what you're talking about is the mystical body of Christ, how we're all tied together, how we're all linked together. And she said, but I'm not finished.
I said, okay, I have trouble shutting up, as you know, Tony. And and she said, I went to communion on Holy Thursday service, and the pain that I have carried for these past several months left, and it's been gone since. And I said, you've got a healing, honey. You got a healing. We got an answer to a prayer.
Amen.
So praying for these people that we pray for at each show is for real. And we're going to pray for Liz. I spoke to Liz. Liz had Chiari disease and has had trouble still with dizziness and heart palpitations. And the prayer we get, the answer we get in prayer is the dizziness is going to go first. Oh, you're a woman. I don't know how that's going to work. But the dizziness is going to go first. And then after that, the heart palpitations.
And we pray for, Teresa. We pray for Marita.
Yeah.
We pray for Margarita. And we give thanks and praise and glory, Jesus, that you healed a three-year-old child with cancer. And the chances are, we're told that it will come back. And so we give you praise and glory in the healing that child and healing the parents and all of them and the suffering they must have been going through. And this parent, this father called us to thank us and to talk to us.
And we have another three-year-old to put in the hospital. Nathan has blood clots in the brain. And I was asked by friends to ask our listeners, pray for Nathan. I hope I have his name right, because my memory fails at times. But Jesus, you know who we're praying for.
Jesus,
any other petitions that you have, can you speak them?
I would like to pray for a young man by the name of James, who's right now lost sight of God and has begun to distrust God's love for him. And I want to ask God's special grace that love be made visible to him.
Mm. I'd also to add Zinabdin Hadi, a little boy who's from Iraq, who is here for special surgery, was burned and all them to his face. And also Adania, a little girl who is about to have a special surgery to have a trach removed and whatever complications she's had for since she was born. So hopefully we pray that God, Jesus, will heal both.
And also, I'd like to pray for the grandmother that calls me concerning her grandson who's on drugs and is tearing her heart apart knowing that her grandson's on drugs. And so, Jesus, cure him from that terrible, terrible, terrible disease.
And Stan, the man on the other side of the glass here, signaled to me, would you please pray for me too?
Absolutely, Stan.
Absolutely. Jesus, we're going to make a very simple prayer because we're coming very close to the end of the show. Jesus, we trust in you.
And we thank you. And we thank you.
We trust in you. I wanted to play that last song because it just sums up the show.
Before you do that, can we announce about sending petitions
to
Dr. Palmer? If you have petitions, you can email them to us at listenup1240@aol.com. That's listenup1240 at aol.com. We respond to every email we get. We respond to every petition. Send them in. We love you guys.
Listen to the words of these songs. Listen to the words. It's a little up, but it just sums up everything. Make it nice and loud, Stan.
With Deacon Josh and Brother Lewis.
And Jesus.
And Jesus. Dan, thank you. Dr. Palmer's the executive producer.
I take all the blame.
And I'm the gopher.
You look like a gopher.
Yeah, maybe it's to me, Jesus.
See you next week, everybody.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
We love you guys out there.
Thank you.
AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.